ॐ सहना भवतु, सहनौ भुनक्तु, सह वीर्यं करवावहै, तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेनाग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगा ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणा देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। चैप्टर 6 नंबर 34 to 36। 34। So we had seen last week that Bhagwan concluded his teaching on the subject of meditation, where in number 32 he says, Atmopyena sarvatra samam pashyati yorjuna sukham vayadi va dukham sa yogi paramo matah. Bhagwan says the highest yogi is one who keeps his or her mind on the Atma, the Self, which is one everywhere. That one Atma is everywhere. Everyone is that. And that is my true nature. I am that. And then this person remains balanced in joy and sorrow, has no hatred, raga, dvesha, and such a yogi is supreme. That's Bhagwan's opinion. And then Arjuna now asks a question, very beautiful question, where last week we had seen that politely and humbly he asks that, O Bhagwan, this yoga of equanimity and sameness that has been taught by you, I do not see how it can remain always with us. Maybe when I'm listening to a class or reading or meditating, maybe I may feel that equanimity, but I feel it is impossible to stay in that state all the time. Because Bhagwan says that this should be practiced all the time. Gurudev also says. So he says, why? Because the mind is restless. And because of the restlessness of restlessness of the mind, I am unable to stay on that. He probably had tried meditation and he felt the same experience. And then he feels that Bhagwan has not learnt it or not heard me properly or understood. Of course, Bhagwan knew what he was going to speak even before he spoke it, but he feels that he needs to emphasize, and maybe for all of us also. So he covers a few more points in the number 34, chapter 6, number 34. Chanchalam hi mana Krishna
Chanchalam Krishna
pramati balavat dridham tasyaham nigraham vayorivasu dushkaram. Chanchalam hi mana Krishna pramati balavat dridham tasyaham nigraham manye. So he calls Bhagwan by his name, Krishna. Number 34, auntie. Number 30. Huh?
It's written in their language, so I'm very much 34 minutes.
34. It's written in Kannada. So
But 34, I hope.
34. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, this one. Okay.
Chapter 6.
Chapter 6.
So anyway, he says, Bhagwan, why am I not able to stay in this yoga of equanimity? He further emphasized, Ch Chanchalam hi, indeed, oh, the mind, oh Krishna.
Yes,
Why does he use the word Krishna, not Bhagwan or anything? Because Arjuna was his friend. They had been together for so many years, so they were close friends, even though Bhagwan was his guide and his guru at this time. But he is my friend and also my brother-in-law. He was also, he married Bhagwan Sri Krishna's sister. So he was his brother-in-law. So he says, oh Krishna, this mind is chanchala. He means indeed, he's emphasizing mind is very chanchala, very restless. Then he puts three more adjectives, four adjectives to describe the mind. Chanchala is one. Then pramathi is very turbulent, very, moving very restlessly, turbulent, cannot control. Then he puts another one, is balvat, the mind is very strong. And dridham, it is unyielding. So we'll see why these four words he uses. And tasya aham nigraham manye, I think tasya nigraham, the control of the mind is as difficult as vayor iva sudushkaram. It is as difficult as trying to control the vayu, trying to control the wind. So we saw that he uses four adjectives to emphasize why the mind is so difficult to control. And then the four words in sequence, he says, first the mind is restless and then agitated. It's not only restless, but it gets disturbed. I like this. I don't like this. Why is this happening? Why is he doing that? Why is so disturbed, agitated? Then the mind is strong, the balvat. When it holds on to something, it won't leave it. And I tell the mind, you don't need this or that. Mind says, I have to have it. That's it. And I want it. And I'll do it, whether it's good for me or not. The intellect keeps trying to guide the mind, and the mind is not listening. And also unyielding. And once it holds on to the idea, no matter how hard I try, I say, look, we are now in meditation. You don't need to think these thoughts. Or I'm in the temple. I'm here for God. You don't need to worry about who's wearing what sari and who, all those things we worry about. Who is here? Who is not here? Why does this person not come to? So all these things we worry when we are there to see God, to be with God, and that's what the problem is. And he says it's very difficult to control the mind like it is to control the wind. So the four words we covered, and the wind, why does he say wind? Because the wind is can be very strong. Of course, if there's a gentle breeze blowing, but sometime if there is a strong wind blowing, or hurricane or tornado, then you know nothing, no power on earth can stop it. And it will come and just destroy the, you know, the buildings, the trees. We have seen, you know, hurricanes and all that. And they are so strong and so difficult to control. And the wind is impossible for any human to control it. And we think we are very powerful, but compared to all these powers of nature, we have no strength to handle it. And another example they give is the rodeo. You know, in Western movies or in the cowboys, you see this man riding this bull or the horse, which is untamed, and just tries to throw, you know, the bull tries to throw this man here and there, and he's holding on with his whole strength. And if he's, most of the time he gets thrown off, but if he's well trained and strong, then he can control that bull, but only for a short while. So how difficult it is to control that difficult it is to control the mind. And why does the mind get disturbed? Anger and lust. We have the on the slide, you know, those points. Anger, when I get angry, then I say something I shouldn't have said, you know, I do something I shouldn't have done, I become rude or angry or, you know, arrogant and all. And the second is lust. Lust means strong physical desire. It can be a desire, you know, for an object, for a person, for a power, position. People in elections will do anything honest and dishonest, or even in business, if their idea is to be successful completely, then he or she will do anything honest or dishonest to get what they want. So this is the problem with the mind. These are the two factors that push us. One is anger, which I do things which are wrong, or lust, when I have strong desires. And he says, aham manye, I think. So Bhagavan doesn't say it, but it's understanding. We think thoughts. No, thoughts think us. The mind controls what I should think, what I should do. And instead of the intellect, which is intelligent, which is sensible, we become powerless in front of these thoughts, just as we are powerless in front of a wind or an earthquake. Same the mind also, according to Arjuna, so far he's saying, the mind is as difficult to control. And even when we sit for meditation, the same thoughts disturb us. And then we focus in our meditation. And how do we meditate? Upon the right knowledge. And the right knowledge which we have got from the scriptures, have got from the guru. And when I am meditating, I meditate on words from the Upanishads, from the scriptures, from the text, and focus on that and try to identify with that, you know, that I am not this body, even this mind that is trying to disturb me. I am not the mind. I don't let the mind take me over the intellect. But in meditation, they teach us to be a witness, to watch the body, how it is sitting, to watch the mind, how it is moving. And watching the mind should not only be done in meditation, but they say all the day, all the time, one should develop this ability to distance from the mind, also distance from the body, but distance from the mind, that the mind is agitated. Okay, my mind is angry, my mind is sad, my mind is happy. Mind will have all these fluctuations, you know, with different situations. Sometime I'll be happy, sometimes sad, sometimes angry, sometimes disturbed, sometimes calm and peaceful. And The idea that this mind is my equipment and I have to use the mind to grow higher rather than become a slave of the mind, that knowledge helps us. And that's even the Upanishads say, you are that, you are that consciousness, you are not this ego, this individuality. And as we practice that, you know, our mind becomes calmer, it doesn't become disturbed, remains peaceful. But then what happens is I finish my Gita class, I finish my meditation, go out into the world, and I say, the world is full of corruption, dishonesty, and cheaters. When I'm competing in business, you know, there are other people who are dishonestly trying to. And I cannot, you know, I cannot compete with them. I also have to become dishonest. I have to become corrupt. You know, that's what typical thing is. Even in India, they say, oh, everybody takes bribes. So what's wrong with I take bribes? And that is our policy. But they say that if you stick to the values of the Bhagavad Gita, strongly abide in those values, then slowly that becomes your method of functioning in the world. And you will find that ultimately satyamev jayate, the Upanishad says, truth alone prevails. So if you are strong in your values and work hard, you will be successful. So the important thing is not to lose our values in life. You know, Bhagavad Gita, in, again in 13th chapter, Bhagwan gives some of the values, amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, you know, lack of arrogance, lack of pride, non-violence. So all these values that are taught throughout the Bhagavad Gita, we should be strong and abiding in those values. It should change our behavior, change our way of working. Otherwise, just reading the knowledge and then, you know, closing the book and then not studying for another week, that doesn't help. So I have to have a change. I have to have a transformation. And as your mind becomes more abiding in the values, becomes more calmer, then slowly you experience that inner peace, that inner calmness, that inner silence, that inner joy that arises from. Today our meditation was also on that, the constant awareness of this inner consciousness, which we should do. So we find that the more you are able to do that, the easier it is for an individual to abide in that consciousness that I am. So the scriptures tell us, the Bhagavad Gita and the Upanishad tell us, you are not this body, mind, intellect, you are not the ego. Detach from the ego, detach from objects and situations, and attach to the Lord within. And the more you are able to do that, the more your mind is controlled. So Arjuna is expressing his difficulty to control the mind, because the mind is very restless, agitated, strong, and unyielding. And we saw it is strong like the hurricane or like that bull, you know, that is so hard to control. So now what does Bhagwan respond? Very, very beautiful. It shows us how a masterful way to even argue with somebody or have a discussion. It is he, you know, the way we should learn from this. When you have a discussion or argument with somebody, so this shloka is very helpful, number 35. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Asamshayam Mahabaho.
Asamshayam Mahabaho.
Mano Durnigraham Chalam.
Mano Durnigraham Chalam.
Abhyasena Tu Kaunteya. Vairagyena cha grihyate. Shri Bhagavan uvacha asamshayam mahabaho mano durnigraham chalam abhyasena tu kaunteya चक्रियते। सो नंबर 35, भगवान श्री भगवान सेड असंशयम महाबाहो, असंशयम देर इज नो डाउट ओ महाबाहो ओ ग्रेट वॉरियर, माइंड इज वेरी डिफिकल्ट, दुर्निग्रहम चलम, इट इज वेरी एंग्स रेस्टलेस एंड वेरी डिफिकल्ट टू कंट्रोल, आई एग्री विथ यू। बट सी भगवान द सेकेंड लाइन पुट्स बट, फर्स्ट ही एग्रीज विथ अर्जुन एंड द सेकेंड लाइन ही सेज बट अभ्यास न तू कौंतेय, तू मीन्स बट विथ अभ्यास विथ प्रैक्टिस ओ कौंतेय ओ सन ऑफ कुंती एंड वैराग्य न जो विथ डिटैचमेंट विथ रिनंसिएशन, सो विथ प्रैक्टिस एंड विथ रिनंसिएशन च गृह्यते, सो इट कैन बी कंट्रोल्ड विथ प्रैक्टिस एंड विथ वैराग्य। सो हियर वेरी ब्यूटिफुली ही शोज अस हाउ टू आर्ग्यू विथ समबडी, सो ही एग्रीज, ही सेज फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल ही कंप्लीटली एग्रीज विथ हिम, यस यू आर राइट। And so immediately Arjuna was, going resisting. Oh, I have given this argument. Bhagwan will say, I don't agree with you. Bhagwan says, no, I agree with you. So it's Gurudev calls it stoop to conquer. You go down a little bit, but ultimately your argument wins. Because Arjuna was ready. He was very defensive. I questioned Bhagwan, Krishna's arguments. I have questioned his teachings. And he will argue back. He will tell me I'm wrong. You are wrong, Arjuna. And then I have six other arguments, counter arguments to defeat his. So he's already prepared with the battle. But Bhagwan makes him very, I agree. He says, you agree? He says, yeah, I agree with you. But, so what is this but? Why does he say but? I agree that the mind is difficult to control, but with practice and with renunciation, detachment, it can be done. So, first of all, he calls him Mahabaho. You are a great warrior. And Arjuna had defeated a whole army, Kaurava army at one time, when he was in Virat's kingdom. Then he had won many battles. So many great heroes were afraid of him. He was the number one archer in the country at that time. So he says, you are a great warrior. You have won so many battles. Now your battle is with your mind. See, physically, you have been able to overcome all these challenges, but now the challenge is within. But I know you are a great warrior. You can do it. Mahabaho also means you have long arms. See, Arjuna had long arms, so he could shoot very well. He could even use other weapons, swords and spear, and he was skilled in all kind of warfare. So his long arm helped him, long arms, like in Ramachandra Kripalu Bhajman, we say Sri Ramchandra ji has long arms. But why? So he can embrace everybody. See, that's the advantage of having long arms. You can embrace more people. And so he also tells Arjuna that you are a very loving and compassionate soul. Arjuna was a very kind, loving, and compassionate soul, even though he was a warrior. And he says, you develop, show those qualities, of yours, the compassion, the kindness. At the same time, your ability to defeat all enemies and the ability to overcome your mind. So he says the mind is an obstacle in our spiritual journey. Intellect tells the mind, don't do this. Mind says, you're always telling me, don't do this, don't do that, don't. I'm not going to listen. I'll do what I feel like doing. And then the body gets the instruction. Intellect says, you ignore it. Intellect keeps on talking. He's talking, things from the scripture. Yeah, that may be wise, but I don't agree. And so the mind takes off and does what it is not supposed to do. And what happens then? We get stressed when the intellect and the mind are not together. The person goes into stress. And psychologists and psychiatrists deal with that all the time. And they find that even children are stressed. Mother will bring the child, "Oh, my child is so stressed." Whether he is or not, I don't know. But they come with that, diagnosis. Or children are stressed. Teenagers are very stressed. So many, difficulties, problems. Youth, they're looking for jobs, graduation, those they are stressed. And, householders, they are stressed over the household expenses to take care of the children, then the senior people, they are also stressed. We say, "Why you are stressed?" Okay, we understand their people are earning, so they have to earn or they have to study or get an admission in a good college. What are you stressed about? So Shankaracharya ji in Bhaj Govindam gives a very beautiful verse. He says, "Balastavat krida sakta, tarunastavat taruni sakta, vriddhastavat chinta sakta, parame brahmani gopi na sakta." So he says, in childhood, people are attached to their toys. And if they lose their toy or somebody takes it, they get stressed. In youth, they are attached to the opposite sex, boy to the girl to the boy. And if girl doesn't respond, then the boy gets depressed and some even commit suicide. So in childhood to toys, in youth to other sex. And vriddhasta, and in old age, what are they attached to? Chinta. They're attached to worry. For no reason, they will worry. You have finished your life. No. My son, I think he needs to be better in parenting. My grandson, look at him. He's so misbehaved. He runs here and there, doesn't listen. My son should do a better job. Arey, you have taught your son. He has graduated. He has finished his, he's in his career. And why are you worrying about his son, grandson? As a senior, you do whatever you can. If you have some, if they ask for advice, then you give advice, but do not interfere in their business. You may be living in their house, but it is his house, it is his child. Let him take care of it. You just keep your mind in God. Do some bhajan. You can help in the house, or you can, financially help. Do that, but do not interfere in their day-to-day affairs. But we worry unnecessarily. We worry about getting old. We worry about, who will take care of my property when I'm gone. All those things we worry about, and who will, take me to the doctor, to the hospital, which child will take care of. All those things we worry about. But parame brahmani kopi na sakta, but none of the three are attached to Bhagwan, the supreme Brahman. They all are attached to different things, toys, other sex, and worry. But nobody wants to. So Bhaj Govindam Mulmate, he says, "Oh fool, just chant Bhagwan's name. Just remember Govind. And remember, at the time of death, all these things will not help you. Only thing that will help you is your meditation, your good karmas." So there's another, line they say in when they at the time of death, when they are carrying the body, they say first they say Ram Nam Satya, or there is a bhajan they play. It says, "Ram Nam tu japa prani, tere do din ki hai zindagani." So your life is only 2 days. We think, oh, 70, 80 years is a lot. But considering the earth is billions of years old, the universe, 70, 80 is just a blink of the eye. It goes away. So your life, and now you don't know how much life you have left. Okay, you are 40, 50, 60. But how many more years, we don't know. So just Ram Nam Jap, just chant the name of the Lord. Oh, you human. And but other people say, same song they will say, there is do din ki zindagani, materialistic. Your life is only 2 days short. So why waste in all this, going to Gita class, going to the temple and all? Enjoy life. You have very few years left. So maja karo, then you will get old and you won't. So the same thing, argument. Your life is short. So one person says, catch it, use it to reach God. other one says, enjoy life. So Arjuna says that the mind is difficult to still, to quieten the mind. And unless the mind is quietened, you cannot think about God. You cannot reach God. So we have to detach from the world and hold on to God. And Bhagwan says that it needs effort, abhyasa, it needs practice. And to succeed in anything we know in the world, it needs practice. Music, you know, you have to practice. You have to sing every day. Teacher comes, gives you a lesson, and then 7 days you are supposed to practice. And the seventh day the teacher comes back. Did you practice? And he can right away tell you haven't been practicing or the one, because they are very sharp. So daily practice is required, not once a week just listening to the lesson. Or same thing, you know, golf, you know, to be successful, if you go to the golf course, even they're not playing the match 18 holes, but they're just sitting and hitting the ball hard and putting, and so many months and years they spend before they become a good golfer. Talking about golf, so there was this man who was about 85 years old. And his wife said, lately, I find you're losing a lot of balls because every week you're buying a box of, you know, balls. And I don't, and, you know, I see it in your credit card bill. Why are you losing? He says, well, my eyesight is not good, you know. So when I hit the ball, I can't see where the ball went. And so that's why I sometimes lose it. So she says, you know, I have a solution. My brother, who is 87, who is a little older than you, but he has perfect eyesight. So you take him with you. So you can play golf and he will get his outing. He will, you know, and he will help you. So he takes his brother-in-law and they go and he hits the ball hard. Then he asks the brother-in-law, did you see where the ball went? He said, yeah, I saw it. So he said, where is it? He says, I forgot. He saw the ball, but he doesn't remember. So, but we have to put in so much effort, you know, to anything, golf, even in business, you know, to be successful. Even cooking in the beginning, you know, the lady will burn some chapatis or burn the dal or some vegetables. Yesterday we went to a restaurant for dinner and the cook burnt the kheer. The kheer came, it was burnt. What kind of restaurant? So the thing is, it needs practice. You know, even experienced cooks, I can do that. So anything you do to be successful, you have to do it regularly, not once a week. Like if I only cook once a week, or I only play golf once a week, or I only practice music. No. So same way people think, Sunday I have been to church. Okay, Bhagwan, my duty is done. I'll see you next Sunday, you know. Or people come to the Gita class. He said, I heard this message. Very good. But what the teaching is that not only we should think about God on Sundays, but every day, you know, read some books, Bhagavad Gita also. Once a week is not enough. We have Gurudev's commentary, so many other commentaries, so many other talks on YouTube. So listen to the Bhagavad Gita throughout the day. That's why somebody asked Gurudev that I have been through Bhagavad Gita three times. So he tells her, yes, you have been through Bhagavad Gita three times, but did the Bhagavad Gita go through you? See, you have to abide in that. So it cannot be once a week. It has to be constant. And we have to detach from our possessions, from our things. With the body, you know, you attach to things of your body, my possessions, my house, my car. Not that I don't function, I don't have to, that I must have a car, house, all that comforts of the body, but I should not spend my whole life in just making the body happy and accumulating more and getting more comforts. So the body has to be kept healthy and detached. Same thing, the mind. I love somebody, I don't like somebody, and we are so attached to our, you know, likes and dislikes. I like this, I don't like this, whether it's food, whether it's people, you know, at work, you know, I don't like to do this work, I only like to do that work. But if your duty is to do both jobs, you just do it without complaint. And intellectually, we have strong likes and dislikes. If I'm a Republican, Republicans are only good. These Democrats should be shot. And the Democrats will say, no, Democrat is good. These Republicans. So, you know, we have such strong opinions all about like communism and capitalism and all those ideas. So we get very attached to our physical comforts, mental likes and dislikes, and intellectual opinions, and we are not able to let go. And in the world, we go through ups and downs, but we are not ready to let go. So the example I read was about a roller coaster. You know, in a roller coaster, you go to Magic Mountain and it is 90 seconds and they go fast up and down. You're screaming, but then you say, it was great fun. You know, you get down. But suppose you get on the roller coaster and the announcement comes that, sorry, our roller coaster is stuck and it will keep going for 45 minutes. Instead of 90 seconds, 40, and we have called the software engineer, but he's 45 minutes away. He will come and fix it. Now imagine what will be your condition, you know, 45 minutes. And after that, when he comes and fixes, you get down and you are sweating. And heart is beating 120 times a minute. Your legs are wobbly. You can't, you know, you're all. And now then they will tell you, you know what, sorry for the inconvenience. We want to make it up to you. We'll let you have a free ride on the next roll. Will you get back on there? You know, you'll say, forget it. I'm done with the roller. I never want to be near a roller coaster. So there we give up. But in the world, we go through lives like a roller coaster in lifetime, one after another lifetime. We go through joys, then we go through sorrows, then we go through, I get something, I lose something, I, you know, all those likes, dislikes, you know, joy and sorrow, success and failure. But yet, we want to come back. You know, even though this 80, 90 years, your life has not all been happy, you know, sometimes happy, sometimes sad. And the masters tell us that the only joy is in getting out of this cycle of birth and death. And know your true nature, you know. But how many people do that? They, you know, they are so attached to things and beings that they have to take another birth. If you have strong vasana, strong desires, likes and dislikes, then you will have another birth, you know. So they say, give up your likes and dislikes. Do not have strong attachments. Attach your mind to God. And the example they give is of a child, you know. Suppose there is this girl, little baby, you know, and she holds on to your phone or your glasses. And when you try to pull it, she's screaming, you know, she doesn't want to give it. And you don't want to, you know, forcefully take from her. So what the mother does, brings us her favorite soft toy and gives it to the girl. And the girl hangs on to the soft toy and drops, you know, whatever your glasses, phone, whatever. So same way, they say, give the mind something better. So mind, which is holding on to objects, emotions, and thoughts, give the mind the knowledge of God. And so when the mind is attached to God, that's what Gurudev says, detach from the world and attach to mind. Then the mind will automatically drop, you know, its attachments and will want to go home. You know, there's a beautiful bhajan which says, Ghair Chalo. You know, let's go back to our home. Our true home is not this home in Bakersfield or LA or whatever. True home is Om. It is God's presence. In God's abode, I want to live. That's why we say Hari Om in Chinmaya Mission. What they mean is Hari Home. Come home to what is your true nature, to your true self. That Om, that is your home, and drop and attach to that. And drop these worldly things. Again, drop does not mean that I don't love my children, my property, my house, but that is not my main purpose. See, one has to be convinced that I am here. The purpose of human birth is to know God, not to have more power, more wealth. Yeah, I need for my comfort, but some people spend their whole life in doing that. And then at the time of death, that's what I read somewhere, that when you die, Your wife only, man dies, wife only accompanies you to the door of the house. See, women, in many places don't go to funerals. So your wife will accompany you up to the door. Your friends will carry you up to the Smashan Ghat, to the funeral pyre. And then there they will also leave. Then only then your son will light the fire. So he will accompany you until the fire, but none of them can accompany you there. Only thing that goes is your karmas. So that's what we should remember. But what people do, they have Smashan Vairagya, where they have gone to their friend's funeral, and we are all getting that age and also. Say, life is so short. Look at this, my friend. He was so happy. He was so nice. And then suddenly he had a heart attack. Oh, we need to think about God. We need to start reading Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna Bhagavan is telling us. But how long does that last? A day or two, Smashan Vairagya. Then we get busy, So, same way, the saints tell us that hold on to the truth. And let the world not be that important. And they have done that, all these saints, Mahatmas, Gurudev, and Shankaracharya ji, and Narsi Mehta, and Tukaram, and all these great saints gave up the world. Even Mirabai, even though she was a princess, she was a queen. But for her, Mere to Giridhar Gopal, in Dusara na Koi. So all of these saints can do it, and you and I should also do it. So that is our 35, then we'll go to 36. Chapter 6, number 36. Bhagwan is continuing his argument about how to progress in spirituality and what should we do with the mind. Asamyatatmana yoga. दुष्प्राप इति मे मति वश्यात्मना तु यतता शक्यो वाप्तुम् उपायतः असंयतात्मना योगः दुष्प्राप इति मे मतिः वश्यात्मना तु यतता शक्यो वाप्तुम् उपायतः असंयतात्मना सो विद एन अनकंट्रोल्ड सेल्फ आत्मा हियर डज नॉट मीन भगवान्स प्रेजेंस द सेल्फ मीन्स ईगो द आई The perceiver, feeler, and thinker that I think I am. So, an individual who is asamyatatma of uncontrolled nature, then for him to get this highest goal of life is dushprapa. It is difficult to get. That is my opinion, Bhagavan says. But two, again, he says, but one who vashyatatmana tu yatata, one who controls his mind. And puts effort in this direction, Shakya, he can, avaptum upayata, he can reach this highest goal of life, but has to put the right effort. The right effort when the individual does and has that goal in mind and controls his mind, then such a person can reach me, Bhagwan says here. Self means again, reach me, reach, that supreme state. So Atma, we said, Atma sometimes means the Om, the consciousness. Here Atma means the individual who is uncontrolled. And he says, it is my opinion that this yoga is difficult for this such a person to achieve. Yoga here again does not mean just the physical exercises, but yoga means yuj, to unite. So to unite my mind with God, it's difficult if you are not controlling the mind because then the mind is running here and there. And it is difficult to reach. Dushprapa iti me matihi. Bhagwan says, that is my opinion, that on the spiritual path, you have to put effort and you have to control your mind. Not only, we'll see, not only in the spiritual path, but everywhere you you need that effort. So he says, but the choice is yours. If you control your mind and put the effort, you can reach. If you don't control your mind, don't put effort, then it is difficult for you to reach. So Bhagavan throughout the Bhagavad Gita never says, thou shalt do it, or if not, thou shalt go to hell. Never Bhagavan has used that anywhere in the Bhagavad Gita, that if you don't listen to me, no. He says, you have this choice and you have that choice. If you choose this, you will get this. If you don't choose, you will get this. But choice is yours. See, there is no force in the Bhagavad Gita. Even at the end of the 18th chapter, Bhagavan says, I have taught you 700 verses. Now the choice is yours. You know, tat yathechasi tatha kuru. Whatever you wish, you do. I'm not telling you I'm Bhagavan, so you have to listen. And effort is constantly required in everything. And, you know, for us, there is a word called Arambha Shura. Arambha means beginning. Shura means brave. That in the beginning, we put a lot of effort. We are brave. You know, I am definitely going to do it. So like in the gym, you know, if you go to the gym in January, you won't get a single machine. Why? Because all these New Year resolution wallahs, you know, they are all there. And every machine is occupied because, oh, this year I'm going to live healthier. I'm going to, you know, exercise regularly. So you tell somebody, you know, the desk, you know, why don't I get machine? He said, don't worry. Just wait till February and they will all be gone. You know, all these Arambha Shuras. First month, they have a lot of energy and then they are gone. And sure enough, by February, March, half the gym is empty. So same thing in music, as I said, you know, in the beginning we practice and then slowly we lose it, you know, from 7 days to 5 days to 1 day, then 0 days, you know, we only practice when the teacher comes.
Mm-hmm.
And anything, you know, to be good in computers, you have to work with computers every day. You cannot work once a week. You will forget things. Any success in any field needs constant effort. And even in business, you know, to be successful, you can't say I've started a new business. I'll just go to my shop once a week. Employees will steal you blind. So it needs, and if your mind is uncontrolled and does not listen to the intellect, then it is disaster. So Bhagavan in the Bhagavad Gita had said one time before, yuktahara viharasya, yukta cheshtasya karmasu, yukta swapanava bodhasya, yogo bhavati dukkha. So Bhagavan is saying not like, oh, you cannot have any pleasures, you know, you have to suffer and go to the forest. No, he says, in moderation, you can eat in moderation. Don't overeat and don't starve yourself. In travel, don't be every, you know, 2-3 months going this country, that country. And at the same time, you don't have to be, okay, I'll never go anywhere, stay at home. So balanced, you know, enjoy, you know, vihara also means having fun. It's okay to have some joy and pleasure, but not all the time. Then yukta cheshtasya karmasu. And there are some people who are workaholics, who work 7 days a week till 11, 12 at night. They don't have time for their family, for their children, and leave it to nannies. So that's not good. On the other hand, not doing anything, just sitting lazily and just letting society pay for me, that is not good. Then not too much sleeping, not too much, you know, awakening, you know, sleep in moderation. Do not mean that I have now on the spiritual path, I will only sleep 3 hours or 4 hours, you know. No, at the same time, don't oversleep, you know, 8 hours, 10 hours, 11 hours. And then expect, you know, then everybody has the same 24 hours. Where do you spend it? So such a person, his sorrows become less. So that is what they are saying, that remain under the control of your intellect and do not overindulge. See, in the world, in physical, now we have understood, okay, you know, this is how much exercise I should do. This is the diet I should eat, protein, less carbs, less sugar. And I should, you know, wake up and go to the gym. So physically, we have learned to to some extent. Most people have now, all the information they want. But we do not control, we don't put garbage in our body, overeat or eat unnecessarily wrong things. But in the mind, any kind of garbage, we put it in. We sit on the phone and we are scrolling and hours pass before you. And anybody and everybody's nonsense things, we let them, come in our mind. Or TV, we just keep watching TV. You sat down to watch one show at 8 o'clock, and before you know it is 11 o'clock. You're just flipping channel. So there we allow the world to put anything in our mind, and that's why they say garbage in, garbage out. If you put wrong things in your mind, whether through TV, through internet, through, talking to people, wrong things, your thinking will become wrong. So I remember I met one family. It's very interesting. What they do is at dinner time, nobody's allowed to hold the phone in the hand. That is the time everybody's eating and then on the internet, and they don't even know what they are eating. Mom has spent so many hours trying to make a good meal. Don't even remember. So that family was that the phone has to be plugged in to charge at dinner time. And not only dinner time, 1 hour extra beyond that, where nobody will touch the phone, computer, no tablet, nothing. And so the whole family, and at that 1 hour, you can talk to each other, you can read a book, paper book, not Kindle, because these lights, blue lights, are harmful to the vision. And we now spend so many hours each day, watching that. And then, especially if you do it at bedtime, where you're till the last minute, you are watching on your phone, and then you sleep, then your mind gets filled with those thoughts and ideas, and then those keep playing in your mind. So whatever your last thoughts were before you go to bed is what your mind will think, your dreams and all. So for at least 20 minutes or so before going to bed, do nothing. In Dutch, there is a word called Niksen, Niksen, in Holland, in Dutch language, which says means do nothing. And that's a very, and they believe in that. For some time every day, sit and do nothing. You don't need to watch TV. You don't need to call somebody. You don't need to be on the phone, and just relax. And and maybe even go out in the backyard and just watch the trees and the flowers and the soft wind blowing and the fragrance. The nature is a great healer. So spending some time with nature or with a good book, and then at the end, 20 minutes doing nothing. Is so we say I have to do this, do that. I have so many things to do. I don't have time to sit and do nothing. So they say, don't be a doer, be a beer. So means don't just do, but spend some time in being. Just I am there. That's it. And that is this that time is when your mind heals itself, when it fills itself with good thoughts. Bhagavan in the 18th chapter tells us yajna jnana tapa na tyajyam karyam eva tat. Yajna, jnana, and tapa, these three should never be given up, even if whenever you're old or anything. What is yajna? Yajna means offerings to the Lord. So when you offer in the fire, do yajna or do puja. And Gurudev used to call Gyana Yajna when he was teaching Gita, that in your fire of ignorance, I am putting what do you call the material of knowledge. Because you have ignorance, so I'm filling it with knowledge. That's why he used to call him Gita Gyana Yajna, that you offer your ignorance in the fire of knowledge. That's the correct translation. So my ignorance I sacrifice when I get the right knowledge. So yajna should not be given up. Yajna does not mean only offering in the fire, but doing puja and trying to get good knowledge, about the scriptures. Then dana. Dana means charity. Charity should never be given up. No matter how you are in your whatever condition, do some charity, whatever you can, to help the world get better, help things. You can give labor, you can spend your time, some organization needs help, or the some charitable place needs help, or somebody is sick in the hospital, you go visit them. So you can help with effort. You can help them, like somebody's needs some work in the house, you can help them paint it. Or you can help with sharing your time or have sharing your wealth. So depending on what you can afford, if you can afford, at least some charity should be done, either physical with time or with wealth. And that is the dana. So yajna, dana, and tapaha. Tapaha means austerities. So why Bhagavan Sri Krishna is using those three? Yajna means activities dedicated to God. Dana is for helping the society. Tapaha is self-control, austerities, doing some tapas is for self-improvement. So you should work towards reaching God. You should serve the world, and you should improve yourself. So this knowledge and these three values are the highway to heaven. There was a song, Highway to Heaven. I don't know if you remember, many years ago. And he says, I'm going on the highway to heaven. Of course, he was probably talking about someone, maybe his girlfriend or something. And in fact, when we were in Australia, we went to one place where there was this on the ground, there was this huge lift which went like thousands of feet up. And on the ground it says Highway to Heaven. And I remember we took a picture. We were little at that time. My dad was there. And when you take that lift at the top, it is a gorgeous scene, beautiful. You can see for miles, lovely valleys and cloud. It's so beautiful. So they say this lift is taking you to heaven, in a way, because you're so much thrilled, so much joy. So same way, this knowledge will take us to heaven. But how do people find heaven in this modern world? LSD. LSD, marijuana. They will smoke marijuana. They are in heaven temporarily. And they get addicted, because these drugs, they make your mind stupid. I used to have, when I was in practice, teenagers come with tremendous vomiting. And I asked the mother, does he smoke marijuana? She says, yeah. So I told him it's bad for you. He says, no, it's legal. California state made it legal. So if it is legal, how can it be bad for you? Or Oregon. So all the states now are legalizing marijuana, and they are promoting this. Many places, the state gets revenue from manufacture of marijuana distribution. But what they're doing, making a generation of youth, stupid is the best word, mentally. They don't progress because this interferes with your brain. And people don't realize that. And they think that drugs will give me happiness. Or they say the only way to reach heaven is through these three methods: serve God, serve the world, and make yourself physically and mentally better. So we'll end here. Bhagwan, after Arjuna asks how to control the mind, Bhagwan has given two very beautiful in 35. It is controlled by effort and by renunciation. And in 36, he says, if you control the mind, you will progress. If you don't, you won't. So very, very beautiful shlokas. Thank you very much. I bow down to you all for giving me this opportunity to share this knowledge. So if we have any comments, please feel free to add them. Either here or on Zoom, we have quite a few people on Zoom also. So please feel free. You can unmute if you have a question, or anybody in the audience. Krishna, you want to make just 1 or 2 minute summary, and then we'll give time for questions. Carry 1 minute. You can unmute. I'll ask.
It's working.
Yeah, just the lower button here. This. Just put it on this one. Just put it on. Yeah, I checked with Amit.
Hello. Can you hear me?
No, I don't know. He said it is working.
Hello.
Okay, yes, you can use.
Only Amit can do that.
Hello.
Hariom, this is Krishna. Thank you, Anilji. Wonderful verses. And also, chapter 6. Last week, what we did was 30, in 33, Arjuna mentions that the yoga of equanimity is and steadiness of vision is very difficult because the mind is restless. And then that is 34. And then 35, he goes on to say that the mind is chanchal, that is restless, then pramati, that is turbulent, balavat, which is strong and powerful, and drudha, meaning that it is
Unyielding.
unyielding or fixed.
Fixed.
So he says that, and it is even stronger than the wind. Then later on, Krishna acknowledges that in 35 and does say that, yes, that is true, but it can, the mind is very restless, but at the same time, you can, when you have vairagya, that is detachment, and also sadhana, that is practice, then you can achieve some kind of balance. So then it goes on to say that the yoga, if you do not have self-control, it's very difficult to achieve. But if you are consistent and strive, it is achievable. So these are the things which, and what you mentioned too, the yajna, dana, tapa, you know, those are very important to put in the process. You know, every day, if we do some kind of charitable work or something, and also, like Gurudev says, that you know, yajna means it doesn't have to be, of course, we do yajnas, but it doesn't have to be fire and doing all that, but burning the ignorance within us with the knowledge of Gita and other scriptures we have. So that is also, that is a, you know, jnana yajna. So saying that, you know, one of the things which I really was thinking when you were saying is, you know, when kids are small, attached to toys, and during different phases they're attached to different things. Looks like the kids this generation are actually fast forward, because I have twins, and my son is already taking money from his mother, and he is like, he doesn't spend for himself or anything, and he keeps in an envelope and he counts in the morning and night. I asked him why is he doing that, and why is he saving all that. He says, you see, it's very expensive outside. I had to think about my children.
Oh,
So I am like, I don't know what to say anymore.
thank you. Thank you. That's an interesting story. Okay, any other comments in the audience here? Kerry, you have a comment? Yeah, go ahead.
Dude, thank you for another very good explanation of these verses. I just wanted to say that something that I heard somewhere, and it I find it really useful, is whenever you meditate, you know, if you're having an argument with someone or you're worried about someone, is to just begin your meditation and take maybe a minute and say a prayer for each of those people. Just say a prayer, wish them the best, bless them, and then you've dealt with it. And so you can let your mind then think about what you want to think about. I just find it really useful. And I always liked the line, to go with the flow. Don't try to fight your thoughts. Go with the flow. Anyway, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. That's good, Lata.
I have a quick question. On the verse 35, and in the Gurudev's book, it says here, thus viewed, practice abhyasa strengthens renunciation or sannyasa, which generates detachment, vairagya, and which in turn deepens meditation, abhyasa. Hand in ha hand, each strengthens the other, thus the total progress is steadily maintained. I wanted to check what's the difference between renunciation, sannyasa, and then vairagya. Why they are two separate things? Is that the level of detachment? Is that what
Yeah,
that?
see, detachment from objects will strengthen renunciation. Actually, they kind of mean the same, but when you detach, then you're able to not only physically detach, but mentally also. See, otherwise you say, oh, I gave this money to this person in charity, but then you keep thinking about it. Oh, I am so generous. Or you give somebody a dress on the birthday and then you ask her, how come you haven't worn the dress or sari I got you? So we get attached to objects. So to renounce, you have to develop this detachment. And renunciation, sannyas, is the same thing. But sannyas, renunciation is where you have thrown away everything.
Oh.
Nyasa means to throw, sam means to throw away completely. So completely detaching, not only physically but also mentally, where then I don't even think. They say now you do charity with the right hand, but even the left hand should not know it.
No.
So that is renunciation, where then you don't have further abidance or thinking about it. So renunciation is the final thing. That's why they call it sannyas.
Okay.
Nyas means to throw away in Sanskrit, and sam means to throw away very well.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. And then I like the line in this text. In this verse 35, the Lord propounds the theory that mind stilled is self-gained. Wow. So the only thing we have to do is still our mind. And it seems like the self will be evident to us.
Because the self is always with us. See,
Right.
even today our meditation was on feeling the inner consciousness, which is the awareness and the
Correct.
life. But reason we don't think of God is because the mind is all the time running outward
Outside.
into the world of objects, emotions, and thought. So when you still the mind, when the mind is not running anywhere and the mind becomes quiet, then the self manifests. You don't have to create the self. The self is ever present. It is ever illumining, but it is the disturbances in the mind. That's why they say mind is restless, it is agitated, it is strong and unyielding. So the problem is mainly manka. It is the manki
Okay.
problem here. The whole problem is of the mind, and only when you control the mind, then the self reveals itself. Of course, you have to do all the things. You have to get the right knowledge. You have to develop vairagya, detachment with the mind, and get the right knowledge, and physically put effort to serve the world, and then the mind, which is now restless and running, will quieten down and self reveals itself. You don't have to, it's not like I quietened the mind and then the self manifested. Self is always, we are
Always.
talking because of the self, we are listening because of Bhagavan's presence. But it is so covered with all this noise that the inner silence you cannot hear. What is God? God is that inner silence, that peace from which this whole world was created. So every word that I am uttering comes from silence and merges back into silence. So only way you will realize the silence when you quieten your mind. You know, physically talk less. That's why they say maunam is very good, silence, and then attach to the higher. So we'll end here.
Thank you for the
questions and comments. We'll continue next week. Three more shlokas. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Asato Ma Satgamaya, Tamaso Ma Jyotirgamaya, Mrityorma Amritam Gamaya. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Shri Guru Namah. Harihi Om. Thank you. Hari Om.